Last week we talked about the body, and if you know me very well, I can't just have one message without some follow-up. So I wanted to follow that up with tonight's message is the church as the body of Christ, the local politic, the local body of Christ, and how that functions in particular. Tonight we want to focus on new life as an extension of Christ, His local body, one that graciously welcomes other churches to walk with us, but finds our identity. We have to find our identity in the personage of Christ and how He functions through new life, how He chooses to use us. If you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, turn in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 tonight, in verse 22. Father, I thank You for this word tonight. I thank You, God, for the encompassing of Your word in our lives and how that practically works out as we're moving forward into 2018. We see the end, we see the finish line coming closer. We see the clock of Your eternal purposes coming to midnight, Lord, coming to that place where no man will work. And so, Father, there's lots to do. There's lots to obey and walk in, Father. So we ask that You bring Your word alive tonight to us, and that it encompasses us and helps us set the pace for next year. Who we are, what we are, concerning our individual lives, but more importantly tonight, what we mean to You as a church, as this local church. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name. Ephesians 1:22 says, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. This is not an organic but a spiritual body that can be touched, as when Jesus walked the earth. When people come in contact with us, they should meet the same power, the same anointing, the same authority, the same wisdom as when Christ walked the earth. The whole purpose of Christ manifesting Himself in the Holy Spirit in each one of us is that when we speak for Christ. Come on, somebody. When we come upon somebody that's demon-possessed, we should be able to cast out demons. When we come upon somebody that's sick, we should be able to lay hands on them and see them healed. Those are things that Christ specified when He sent the Holy Ghost. He specified the gifts that we could use, gifts of healing, the gifts of wisdom, knowledge. All the gifts are functioning through you and I. And when we come together as a body, we come together as something that glorifies God. Now, chalk is breaking. Everybody knows this. You've been here longer than a year. Everybody's seen this. I'm sorry? The church, His body. So, I'm not a very good drawer, but you can see that what Christ did for us is He made us part of His body. He said, I'm going to sit on My throne until My enemies become a footstool for Me. And the Bible says in Ephesians that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. There's only one body of Christ. Only one body, and we're part of that. But how that works out in the local church is what we're focusing on tonight. You know, I'm glad to be part of the body of Christ. My left knee argued with me all day about coming. It wanted to stay home, and I said, you have to come. How many are glad my left knee came? See, what we don't realize and what becomes more particular, because Christ called us His body. Right here in Ephesians 1:22, look what He called it. He says, He gave Him to be head over all things. By the way, Christ is head over the whole universe. He's just not the head over the church. He's the head over the whole universe. But, and we'll talk about this later, but it says He's given Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. So He chose to fulfill His purposes in the church. He's head over everything, but the church is the one that will fulfill. That's awesome. and how that works out in particular. So our position is solidified in Christ. Our position is forever settled in heaven. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. I was talking to a young man several years ago, and I said, do you know what part of the body of Christ you are? And he goes, yeah, I'm the tonsils. He said, what? I said, what do you mean the tonsils? He said, well, I figure out I'm the tonsils. I don't have to do anything. Pretty soon I'll be extracted, and I'll just sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else. It's a joke. We're part of the body of Christ, and our position is settled in heaven. We are in Christ. But heaven is not laying dormant, waiting for something to happen. Heaven is always on the move. Jesus said, I will build. How many know building is an activity? It's a verb. It's not a noun. Jesus said, I will build my church. Our position is in Christ, and now He's both seated in heavenly places, and He's also moving forward. We've talked about this before. The position is in Christ. It never changes. But now what Christ is looking for is behavior. He's looking for us to move forward in Him to complete the perfection of the body. To the wedding supper of the Lamb that's going to happen very soon. But there are people and things that need to happen before that takes place. People that need to be a part of the body so that the body is complete. So far we've been working with an incomplete body. That wasn't Christ's intent, it's our intent. When we move, our whole body comes with us. If the body does not go with us, by refusing to respond, we call it sickness. Come on, somebody. If part of the body doesn't move with us, if we're injured or if we've had a stroke or something like that, we call that a sickness. Or if the body moves without functioning the head telling it to, we call that a sickness. It's an abnormality. God's intent is that we move according to what the head says. We cannot cast a vision here in this local church and have just the leadership go. It will not work. We can't do it. I can't get a vision for the church and cast a vision. I can't do it on my own. 5 or 6 of us can't do it. 10 of us can't do it. It's got to be everybody going in the same direction. That's what makes a body. See, you can't. I couldn't stand here and talk to you if my knees refused to cooperate. I'd have to sit. If my toes refused to cooperate, I couldn't walk back and forth or do anything. It has to. That's why He called us a body. He could have called us a building, and in Ephesians He talks about a building, but it's a living building. And here He calls us a body, and it's a purposeful statement because it gives us a vision of our own body. How many know God's intent is that we walk coordinated together with Him to complete the task set before us. But if we could get a picture, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, if we could get a picture of what new life looks like doing the work of the Lord, we've got one big monstrosity here and one here, and we're limping and we're walking on crutches and we're trying to get it done, but it's because everybody needs to pull in the same direction so that we can function no matter what size we are. Because if we function correctly, and if all of our organs are working correctly, we're going to talk about that at the end, we'll naturally reproduce. How many know you don't have to tell a young couple that wants to build a family, go and reproduce? Come on, somebody. So you reach a place where you begin to be, your behavior becomes more than personal behavior. There's a difference between personal behavior and corporate behavior. Personal behavior, you can be the best Christian in the world. You say, I'm coordinated, I've got everything together, I pray, I have my devotions, my family is in order, my finances are in order, everything is in order. Personal relationship with Christ, that's wonderful, but Christ sets us in the local body to fulfill the work in the local body. So that corporately, we're matching up with what God's intent is. I believe that God's intent is to fill this place. Now, I know I've got people even within the church that says, we don't want to fill it. I mean, we're just happy being a small church. See, I believe when we're moving in coordination with Christ's intent, He wants to add to the church daily, just like He did in the book of Acts. Come on, somebody. And instead of just limping along and going along with one eye and, just one leg and crutches and trying to get to where you're going and saying, we'll do it another year and do it another year, what we want to do is function and start to reproduce and fulfill God's requirement corporately. There has to be a trust in the body local for local leadership. There has to be a thing that happens that we can't make happen by browbeating or by mentioning it. It just has to happen, and I'm praying, and I want you to pray that the body gets it. Because the reality is we're obeying the head. And as much as I like to make jokes, I want to make an announcement. None of my body argued with me today when I got out of bed. I've said I'm going down to make coffee. My whole body went down to make coffee. Christ didn't use any adjectives when He said we're the body. The broken body or the partial body. Or He said the body. Paul, when he was writing the Corinthians, was talking to the universal church, but he was talking to the Corinthian church. He says, if one is an eye and one is an ear, we have one, the eye can't do the ear's job, the ear can't do the eye's job, we need one another. The body is in touch with the head at all times. We go where God leads us, and we all go. We call that coordination. So corporately, we have to be coordinated. What's that mean in Christ? It means, here's what it means. I'm going to leave my notes here and go over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, just look at it with me. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and let's begin in verse 9. Ephesians 4, 9. Everybody okay? Everybody all right? You there? Ephesians 4, 9. And this He ascended. What does it mean? That? But He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens that He might fill all things. Now what's His intent? To fill all things. How is He going to do that? He's in heaven. Here's how He's going to do it. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. All things. Where was all things mentioned before? In verse 10, all things. He hasn't changed the subject, my friends. The body of Christ is going to get to a place where it grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I thank God for Christians all over the world. There are more Christians in Africa than you should shake a stick at, but I don't have any idea who they are, what they're doing. They're part of the universal body of Christ. I read about them. I'm excited what's happening there, but I can't join with them in unity. I'm unity in the Spirit. I'm seated in heavenly places with them, but how I practically work that out is I take that lesson and incorporate it in the local church. And if every local church is doing their job, that's what we call revival. It's not something all of a sudden one day the heavens are going to shake and the thing is, it's going to rain and people are going to, you know, and the eagles and the things and the deals, and I had a dream and there's a vision and all of that. That's all well and good. There's signposts. But what practically works it out is the local church being the local church. Functioning together in coordination so that we get the job done. Coordinated means that local churches are doing what they're called to do. You can't practically work that out in a universal church. If we could, we'd have already done it. I have a little box at home. I spent $100 on it. It's called Roku. I get on the spell. I haven't checked lately, but I get on the spiritual stations. There's 492, last time I looked, Christian stations I could find on the internet. I mean, come on Roku. 492 channels, probably more than that. It's probably close to 600 channels that I can't. I'm not saying they're all good. I'm not saying they're all Christian. I'm not saying, but if, can you imagine? If the universal church would have done what we, some think it should do, because we have a whole contingent of the body of Christ, universal, that looks at the universal church on the TV and says we could do it. But how that practically works out, I can watch TV till midnight, I'm gonna go to bed and I'm not gonna, how do I work that out practically? Come on, somebody. Just because I watch a workout program on TV, Pilates on TV, doesn't mean I'm going to do anything with it. You know, do you ever watch a workout program and just get all excited about it and say, man, I'd like to do that. Try a couple things and you turn the TV off and go eat your pie. Working that out, particularly, coordination doesn't come, cannot come. Coordination cannot come from the universal church. It can't. There's no possible way that the universal church is going to do what we have to do before Christ comes back. He says, I am going to come when my enemies are made a footstool for me. If we're leaving that up to the universal church, we're going to be here a long time. It practically has to work out in the local church. The body is in touch with the head. It is not hard to hear His voice, for we are connected to Him at all times in every circumstance and situation. What we need to do as a corporal body, as a local corporal body of Christ, is build some trust in what's happening. God moves through His body on purpose because He wants to. He's going to work this out involving us. Nowhere in the New Testament after Acts chapter 2, when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and it began to grow, God did not move outside of man. We've talked about it. When Peter went to Cornelius, Peter went. He used a person. When Paul went to the lost, the house of Israel, where did he go? He used Paul. Handkerchiefs on. He didn't sovereignly do anything outside of using people sovereignly. Come on, somebody. And every place that Peter went, Paul went, and the disciples went, what did they do? They appointed elders. And they appointed the local church. Here, we're going to leave you guys here to coordinate everything. So that this section, Paul even gets so excited in some of his letters, he says, we don't need to say anything. You guys are doing it too. We don't even need to say anything. People are already talking about what you're doing. Was he talking to the universal church? No, he was talking to the Ephesians. He was talking to the Galatians. He was talking, come on, to Thessalonica. They were working out in a coordinated factors that they were working coordinated locally, so that the universal church was glorified. Come on, somebody. And if we stop to think about the body, you know, I haven't thought about my left toe in a lot, my left big toe in a long time, but I thank God it's getting transmissions from the head. It's making me look good. I'm standing straight. Come on, somebody. We are vitally important to this perfection right here. Perfection will never be worked out personally. It'll be worked out corporately from the local body. Where we go, God leads. It's called coordination. Romans 12 verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. This levels the playing field. We need each other. See, and that's where we've... And I understand in the age of heroes, we want to make heroes. We want to make people that are, you know, known worldwide. And I'm not saying that they're not useful. They are. Thank God that God is using people like Reinhard Bonnke to win millions of people, and Daniel Kalanda, and going to places and nations and seeing literally millions saved. Thank God for that. But whenever they leave there, and Reinhard would be the first one to tell you, they do not go to an area until they've involved all the local churches, and they even plant local churches as a result of this topic. How's that going to work out? How's it going to coordinate through the local church? Come on, somebody. Through the local church in a practical manner. And so there's a level of trust that needs to happen in our local church. All I'm saying is, we've known each other a while. You've known some of the elders here a long time. There's got to be some trust built in and say, these guys are hearing from God and we've got to go in this direction. If not, we fight each other internally and we never get the external vision taken care of. We're limping, we're fighting, got a big head and little shoulders and little feet, and big toes, and we look like a circus act. And when people do come in, they see a circus act, they say, it's not coordinated. See, coordination attracts. Mental patients hurt themselves. It's a sign of insanity or mental imbalance. In the natural, it is the body receiving wrong messages from the brain. In Christ, it is the body not properly interpreting the message from the head. Come on, somebody. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, some teachers. He speaks through the leadership to the body so that we can... The central nervous system is now taking care of the factions of the body, all factions of the body, and we're walking. There has to be a level of trust there. And if we've got to rebuild that trust all the time, that's what causes church splits and church inactivity. Come on, somebody. We've got to get together on this thing. And this needs to be said on a Sunday morning, I know, but we've got to get together on this thing because we can't keep saying that what's going to happen in the future, and then we keep going around the same mountain. Three or four people know where we're going. And I've never, 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 never obeyed my toes to go where. My toes have never said, you know, I heard that we're supposed to go there, to go there. Go where my feet lead me. Huh. They call that insanity. Go where my feet lead me. What does that mean? That means glory in what God made you, but there's got to be trust in what we hear from the Lord. If more than one vision is in a house, it's called division or two visions. Sounds like a good vision, Pastor. It sounds like a good vision that you elders have come up with. You guys work it out, and if it works, we'll come with you. We're not going to get anything done because the coordination is not there. We can have all the ingredients. I was talking with Brad about this morning, and I said, can you imagine having a blueprint made up to build a house? I want to have a house built. And so the blueprint's made up, and we go on site, and we say, we don't want the blueprint, we'll just throw it away, let's start to build. And we build, and then the bathroom's over here, and you say, no, I want the bathroom over here. So you move the bathroom, no, I want the living room in the back. How long would it take to build that house? You wouldn't get it done. What do? You take the blueprint and you say, here's the bathroom, here's the living room, here's the back room, come on, somebody. And that's what Christ did. He specifically called us to work together as a local church so that we coordinate the efforts to reproduce. There's a vital relationship with the head that we need to have, and how that works out practically. You know, we have no life without the head. A body without the head is called a what? Corpse. And corpses stink. The community smells death and not life. And I don't want to come anywhere near. Those who do not want to be part of the body are saying they do not recognize the head. It is absolutely imperative that we move as one in obedience to the head, Jesus Christ. absolutely imperative that that works out. And it all comes to the head, Jesus. Both the saved and unsaved must come to the Father through Jesus Christ. And I know we took it off the bulletin. It used to be on the bulletin every week, the back part of the bulletin. It's not anymore, and that's probably a good thing, because it becomes something we look at, we never see. Come on, somebody. You got lots of stuff in your house you look at, but you never see. But your wife does, because she wants to change it every 10 minutes. I'm not picking on you, ladies. You just... Our intent when we come together as a body for church is we exalt the Lord. We exalt God. We don't make excuses for that. We don't apologize for our absolute passionate approach to the throne. We come, we're looking at the head. Thank God. It's like when I wake up in the morning, my whole body is waiting for my head to say, okay, it's time to get out of bed. Although the older I get, the kidneys seem to be the head. Don't say, come on, somebody. Kidneys say, I don't care what you say, I'm sending directions to the head to get you up. Anybody there? I could say a lot about that, but I won't. Exalting God, we look up to the Lord for our direction. And then we encourage one another in the Lord. We're looking in. Now that encouragement takes on different forms. It takes on patting each other on the back for good work, chastening sometimes. You're doing this in your life, keep doing this, you're not going to make it. Come on, somebody. Everything can't be cured by prayer. Prayer is a good thing, but after prayer comes action. Come on, somebody. Pray all you want. Now, when we got excited in the mid-90s, I read, and I was largely overweight at the time. And so I was reading this article that people were out in Kansas City, and then one guy was at a conference, said he lost 150 pounds in one meeting. I don't know how true it was, but I got excited and said, hey, I need to go to that meeting. That'd be cool. Lose 150 pounds in one meeting, I'll go. Come on, somebody. God, just give me that anointing. I wake up in the morning and be 150 pounds thinner. It never worked. Prayer works, but then comes the obedience. Come on, somebody. So we encourage, and then one of our other ones is to equip. Hopefully we're teaching the Word of God. We're looking forward to growing the body. So we're equipping, hopefully we're equipping in such a manner that the church will go on after we're here. We're just a minute. We're like a flower that fades, grass that withers. Go on, somebody. 10 years from now, most of us won't be here. Look around. 10 years, most of us won't be here. Come on, somebody. Maybe 15. Come on, somebody. We hope it, but that, isn't that the reality? Is that the reality? And so we've got to reproduce. Okay? This is for the life of what God wants to do. And then, of course, we evangelize. Or we say we do anyway. We're evangelical, but we don't do much evangelizing at this point. But so we look out. Those four ingredients has to be in every local church. You know what these are? These are the staples of life. How long can you go without water? Anybody remember? How long can you go without any water? 3 days. 3 days, you're done. You got to have some kind of liquid to keep in the body. With food, you can go a lot longer. But the staples of any local church is reproducing, equipping, encouraging one another, and most importantly, exalting Christ. Everything can be transported over to the body. Realize that we are incorporated into Jesus Christ. By the way, in Ephesians 1, in Christ and in Him are used 5 times in verses 3 through 13. Christ is living His life out through His church practically. Thank God that He's in a universal church. Thank God that that church is growing all over the world. But He practically is working that out right here with you and I. And so the exchange life takes place, and I want to take it a step further, because what happened to us is we died in Him, and now we live at the throne. He came to live in us. This chalk is terrible. And we live in Him. That becomes more real to me every day. My place is in the heavens with Him. He's living through me. The more I yield the deed to my body, my mind, my soul, my whole life over to Him, the more things work out. Anybody there? And if it works so in individuals, how many could say amen? Come on, say amen with me. The more you give to God, the more coordinated your life becomes. Come on, somebody. If that works out individually, how much more corporately as a local church? The more we give ourselves to God, and I realize what I'm asking, in an age of mistrust of leadership, mistrust of those that are in hit. I can't believe some of these people are called senators and congressmen and judges. We're teachers. I mean, have you lost your ever-loving mind to tell a 5-year-old they may be a boy or a girl? Are you completely out of your mind? Are you nuts? I realize in that climate that asking a local church to trust their leadership is a hard thing. But really it comes down to trusting that Christ is living in us and we are living in Christ. If that's the sum total of who I am, then if Christ can do it in me, He can do it in you, and coordinated together, He can do it in a local body. Realize that we are incorporated into Jesus Christ. We are not automatically connected. There needs to be a coordinated effort to fulfill His will so that we can connect and begin to reproduce. A healthy local church reproduces. It is through obedience to the revealed Word we find our connection. Growth individually, when we grow individually, it means that we have growth corporately. And I've never been in a more loving church than New Life. I'm telling you, we just love one another. But we need to take that the next step and say, let's move this thing forward. Remain wholly dependent on Him. We have to trust that the head is communicating to the heads of the church, to the leadership in the church, that we're hearing the head and not someone else. Where did you come up with a harebrained idea to have trunk or treat? I'm picking on somebody. You have to trust that the leadership is hearing from God. And then we make adjustments. We make adjustments. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Colossians 2:18, let no one cheat you out of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, all the body, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. One thing that we've made a mistake on, I don't want to belabor the point too long, but we've tried to incorporate the universal message into the local church. Completely backwards. It should be the local church adding to and incorporating itself into the universal. Pastor, I heard about this guy, I saw him on TV, and he thinks the end of the world is going to be this year. Actually had people come and tell me that. September 2015, the world's going to end, that's it. Here's a book, read it. Read the first three pages, the Holy Ghost said, don't read it anymore, this is just to sell the book. Gave it back to the person people built their whole lives around, the world coming to an end on September 2015. It was the universal church affecting the local church. Come on, somebody, get real with me tonight. If I told you you only had a year to live, you'd stop doing everything except what you wanted to do with your family. Most people would stop working, you'd stop producing, you'd say, but do it. Just leave me alone, I just want to live the rest of my life beside my loved ones. Why do you think the enemy is attacking so strongly about the end of the enemy? Christ warned about it. He said, beware when they say, there is Christ and there is Christ and here is Christ. Don't go after them. He was warning the local body. If you follow the universal message, we're damned. We're damned. It's going to end any time. It's still the same way. Still, now they're saying it's going to end before the first of the year. There's people out there saying that thing. It's a universe, or somebody comes up with some harebrained idea that God is no longer accepting forgiveness. You've been forgiven and you never have to ask forgiveness. Hyper grace. It flooded the body of Christ all over the world. And it's affected the local church because some poor guy that got called to preach and is preaching sin and the terribleness of sin can only get 30 people. You're condemning, man. The guy on TV told me I can do anything. God forgives me. I'm not coming to your church. And then the local constituents, the local people say, well, that can't be serious. There's only 30 people going there. I don't even want to go. I want to go over here to this big church that tells me everything's okay. That's not God. We do not exalt a man. We do not say in prayer, I want. It's I need. God is looking at Jesus, not us. He's looking at Christ. Christ is working out His plan in each local church. I believe with all my heart that the viable local church, I'm not saying that every church in this community is God sent. I'm not saying that. I can't say that. I don't know what the foundation of it is. But every God called church in this community has a job to do. Not one of these who believe that we should all just buy a huge building and come together as one church. It's not going to work. So I love you all, but you're not all going to come live with me. Come on, somebody. I love you all. You're welcome. If you didn't have a home, you could sleep on my couch or I'd give you something. Yeah, everything I have is yours if you need it. But you're never going to come live with me. We're not going to all sell our homes and live in a big house. Yeah, until we get to heaven. That's a whole different thing. And we have to put up with each other. Come on, somebody. But the local church, I believe that every local church has a job to do. We're not going to do what Church of God is doing. We're not going to do what the Nazarene Church is doing. We're going to do what God called us to do, and God is going to connect us with people that are going to complete the plan. Yes. Well, we went through a merging in New York. Someday when I've had plenty of sleep and lots of coffee, I'll tell you about that. I'd never do it again. I'm not saying it's not God. Sometimes it is, but we merged two churches and it was It's for another day. A perfect illustration of the local church is husband and wife. And one of the things that I want to pick on probably a lot between now and the end of January, because I think we need to set the pace, is men in this body need to be men leading their wives in prayer and devotions and love and examples. Come on, somebody. Each local family, each family, because the family makes up the church, makes up the community, makes up the universal church. Come on. God works from the inside out. Christ loves his own body as a husband is to love his wife. We are to submit to line up with the head, and that's Jesus. We have membership with one another. The universal church has its embodiment in the local church. When the local church begins to walk in obedience to the revealed word of God, that kind of thing multiplies so that the universal church is walking in obedience. And I don't want to get too perfunctory, but the Bible says, Jesus says this, when this gospel is preached throughout the world, then the end will come. How many know there's no place in the world that doesn't get the gospel? But is it the gospel that needs to be preached? Because the universal church has affected the local church so much that it's broken. Not faulting Dave Wilkerson. I love David Wilkerson. I got his newsletter when he was alive and went down to Times Square Church. But when he went down to Times Square Church, he opened a church. He had 1,500 people for Sunday. Now, granted, New York City is 9 million people. At that time, it was about 7 million people. 6 million, maybe. But he had instantaneously, he announced for 6 months that they were opening a church. And every local church in the 5 boroughs suffered. There were churches that actually closed because everybody left. Because an internationally known, renowned apostle, prophet came to the city and said, we're it. Come and listen to us. The universal church affecting the local church. And it did. And what we'd like to believe is they affected and they grew the church, which they did. That grew to a big church. But how many know the effectiveness got lost in the local church? The local churches that could have impacted in a real way and changed the 5 boroughs, not just lower Manhattan. Every part is vital to the whole. God is looking for this one thing, completeness. And he is not coming back until that takes place. Till my enemies are made a footstool, he's coming back, the Bible says, for a bride without spot and without blemish. When that's complete, story, end of story. Nothing happens in his body without his knowledge. We've got to build that trust factor, you and I. I've got to be able to trust you, you've got to be able to trust me. We trust Christ in each other so that we can go. I'm not saying it's that we've done things wrong. I'm saying we've done things wrong. It's time to change. And change hurts. And but if you don't want to hear the word change, you're going to be disappointed because we're going to be talking about that for the next till change happens. We must rest in the fact that the head is in charge. He rules and reigns. And when I'm going to prayer, when I'm asking the Lord what is going on for 2018, the big word in every sentence I hear from Christ is change. If you want to complete what I've started in you, if you want to fulfill what I've called you to do, you've got to change. The head knows what's going on in the body. Someone said, I hate it when my foot falls asleep. It means it's going to be awake all night. You know, the only way that I don't know what's happening in the body is if it's fallen asleep or there's no feeling there. Then I've got other problems. But I'm aware of what's happening in my body, and Christ is aware. He rules and reigns over all of us. He's the head over the church. and head over all things. The headship of Christ extends far beyond the boundaries of the church to include the entire universe. We talk about that. All creation. It is not that he as the head of the church is confronted by the enemy who needs to be subdued. His enemies, he took care of them at the cross. He has put them in subjection already. I've often talked about this, but who doesn't want to go after an enemy that's already defeated? Sign me up. I'll fight that fight. The enemy of my existence, the enemy that's trying to hold people in prison, in souls in prison that belong to God, how many know he's already defeated by Christ? Christ just needs to work that out in the local body. I need to go snatch people from the jaws of hell because they're already defeated. He is the victor over every principality and power, and the church is assured the same victory, for we are part of his body elect. The Bible continually tells us and encourages us that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That we walk in victory. We have power over all the enemy, the scripture says, time and time again. The gates of hell, Jesus said, shall not overpower it. Now, anytime the gates is mentioned in the scripture, it's talking about headship. Satan himself will not overpower the church, the most powerful in hell. The Arche, Satan, Lucifer, what used to be Lucifer, Satan will not overpower the church. Jesus declared it. How many know if he declared it, it'll happen? It's extraordinary that the church is called the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's what the scripture says in Ephesians. To the church that fills all in all. It's not Jesus filling all in all. It's Jesus and his body fills all in all. Although he's head over all things and fills all things, his fullness is to be found only in the church. He has associated himself so totally that his glory and radiance is found in his church. We don't go to shrines. Some people do. We don't go to idols. We don't go to, you know, people say, I want to go to Jerusalem, and I understand it. I want to go to the wailing wall. I want to go to the tomb. Jesus is not in the tomb. He's not at the wailing wall. Those are nice historical places to go visit. But Christ is everywhere. He's in us. Come on, somebody. That's wonderful to go to historical places, but they're just historical places. Although we are not perfect and have not yet seen the ultimate intention of Christ, the glory of God can be experienced in this local church. In fact, we can never experience God's fullness outside the dynamics of the local church. The dynamics of the local church that makes the universal church what it is. And I'm not going to draw, just in closing, I'm not going to draw any, I was going to draw a skeleton, but I wouldn't be able to do that. I can't even draw a stick man. Well, what I can do is talk about the local church in its entirety as a body. The skeletal system, if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, because there will be some questions about this later. The skeletal system is the fivefold ministry. In the tabernacle, in the midst of the tribes, there were five main beams that held up the tabernacle. There were five main beams that held up the tabernacle. The fivefold ministry holds up the local church. He appointed some to be apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists. That fivefold ministry is what makes the local church what the local church is. The lack thereof makes the local church what the local church is. Recognizing callings and purposes isn't recognizing titles. We're such a title-oriented people. Come on, somebody. I told a story about Richie that was with me in New York. Richie wanted to go places and be things. And I said, man, let's just take our time and spend some time with me. We'll go through some training together. And he left, went to another place. He went down to New York City to go to church. He was traveling like 45 minutes down to New York. So we were about an hour and 15 minutes from the city. So he was going down to one of the five boroughs. And I saw him about 6 months later, and he handed me his card. And it said, Apostle Richie, I can't remember his last name. I said, Apostle, how'd you become an apostle? He said, man, I went to Bible school for 6 months. I'm an apostle. I said, I don't think so. But it's not about titles, it's about function. See, the tabernacle could have never stood without the five main beams. The local church is very important in the skeletal system. The muscular system, is prayer and intercession. Jean said it well, she's not here tonight. Nothing happens without prayer. Prayer is our food. Come on, somebody. Prayer is our food. We need to pray both individually and corporately. We need to make more time for prayer, which will happen in the next year. Next is the nervous system. The nervous system is discernment. Thank God that everything that comes by is not God. Some of this teaching I hear in the Universal Church, man, I said, don't bring that here. How many have ever got a warning that if you click on an email, it's going to open up a virus and destroy your computer? That's the same thing when we get messages from universal churches that haven't been tried. The universal church. This guy says that the world's coming to an end in September. The virus hit the whole of a lot of the body of Christ in the United States has stopped functioning altogether. We're going home. Let's just spend time talking about going home and looking up. It's October. God, are you late? The chariot's not working today. Come on. Discernment. We need to discern the voice of the Lord. And we do that corporately. Hopefully communication is clear enough between leadership in the local church and the body politic, the whole body, and saying, you know what? Let me talk to you. Here's what I hear God saying. Perfect. That's what needs to happen. Come on, someone. It's like when I go running and I've been having problems with my left knee. If my left knee starts to act up a little bit, I know that I've got to stop running for a little bit. Much as I love to. Digestive system in a body. Digestive system is logos to rhema. When the word becomes, hopefully, when we're teaching the word here and I'm preaching the word, it goes from the page to the heart. It becomes life to you. I want somebody. Logos to rhema. Logos to written word to the active living word. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hopefully the word of God is being preached in this local church. I try to do that. I know that everybody that preaches from this pulpit will preach the word or they won't preach. And so, logos to rhema. Now the excretory system. What do you think that is? Huh? Deliverance. Deliverance comes in many ways. We're going to be talking about that in the month of March. We're going to take the month of March and talk about deliverance in the local church. Deliverance comes through study. It comes through training. It comes through discipline. And sometimes it comes through casting out of demons. And it needs to be something the local church is functioning in. We do damage to people when we tell them that they've got to be more disciplined. Sometimes they've just got to have a demon cast out. We're so afraid to do it because it may not be God. I mean, you know, demons are real and they need cast out. Come on, somebody. This is not the time or place to do that. The respiratory system. How do you spell that? What do you think that is? Huh? The Holy Ghost! Give that man a Cupid doll. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that practically works out and powerfully works out God's plan. Pastor Brad and I were talking about that very thing today. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes and He's so practical, but sometimes He just says, I want to do what I want to do. And He'll just start healing people, or He'll just start prophetic words. He'll just start, you know. Come on. He's the wild one of the Trinity. He just decides He's going to come. When He came, Jesus came as a child, the Holy Spirit came and got everybody drunk. Come on, He could have come and got passed everybody out, or could have everybody go, oh, bless God. No, when the Holy Spirit came, everybody said, these guys are drunk. Come on, the Holy Spirit's the wild one of the Trinity. But He's the respiratory system. We have our life and our being in the Spirit of God. The reproductive system, what is that? Come on, what is that? Evangelism. We're having a turkey dinner with all the dressings, everything. Invite everybody. 100 people show up. We're going to go out and tell people about Jesus. 3 people show up. We absolutely have to live lifestyle evangelism. Particular means when we go out, that's all fine, but we have to live a life of reproducing and evangelizing. Then there's the glandular system. What is that? Glandular system gives oil to your extremities. Thank God that you've got oil running on your joints. That's the anointing. Thank God for His anointing. You know what happens during the anointing? When the Lord manifests, I'm no longer listening to Ruth Ann. She's prophesying in the power of the Lord. I'm no longer listening to Mick as he lays hands on me for healing. I'm listening to the Lord through him for healing. That's called the anointing. And we need all of it we can get. Catholic Church understood the anointing, and they have completely messed it up and said every time the Pope dresses up in his clothing, he's the vicar of Christ. He's the voice of God. How many know? Zero anointing will not get the voice of God. We can look the part and not move the part. Move in. Come on, somebody. Yes, we can. And it's not a new teaching. That's basic teaching in the Catholic Church. No relationship with Jesus Christ. There's not a personal relationship with Jesus because you can't have that because you're just a person. You've got to have that relationship. Matter of fact, more important relationship to have if you're a good Catholic is with Mary. Because Mary's the mother, and what Jesus won't answer, Mary will. Yeah, I think he's doing a pretty good job. I thank God when I look out for all of you, at all of you, you've got skin on or covering. We'd look pretty ugly without our skin. What's the covering? Love. We're covered in love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love one another as I have loved you. Come on, somebody. Our skin, what holds us together, what makes us a local body is our love for one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We're practically working that out in the local body. Number 10, because I don't want to bend over. Number 10, the circulatory system. What is that? The blood of Christ. Nothing is done without the blood. The blood was sprinkled on absolutely everything in heaven. It's sprinkled on us. We move and have our being because of the blood of Christ. Circulatory system. And then the last system, now I got this from a nurse. I hope I didn't miss any systems, but the immunity system our immune system is what? Oh, unity. Unity is the immune system. We absolutely have to be one. And that oneness protects us. We don't want to lose anybody to the devil. And the way we do that is we stick together. When one weeps, all weep. When one rejoices, all rejoices. When one gets a big head, we bring him back down to earth. When one gets despondent, we bring him back up to earth. Come on, somebody. We can do together, and that's what practically works out. And that's where God gets the glory, when a local church begins to function. And it's happened. It's happened here. And I'm not saying it's not happened here in a small way, but we need to continue to do that and invite other people in so that the body grows. And that we get the ultimate job, the reason why the church is here. I've said it 100 times. The church is the only organization that exists solely for its non-members. The only reason we're here is to be light and salt. Otherwise, we'd go home and just say, okay, I'll call you sometime. Thanks for being Christian. But we're together to function, work all these things out, so that completeness happens when all of this begins to work together. And then all of a sudden, the skin, the skeletal system, the respiratory system, the glandular system, the excretory system, we begin to walk as one person locally, so that when people say, I see Jesus in new life, I want what they got. They're practically working out. They're following, they're leading, they're being healed, they're growing, they're discipling, they're doing all the things that God called the universal church to do. That practically works out. And God worked that out from the beginning of time. Thank God that my wife and I had children without anybody else's help. God could have had a system where He said, if you want children, you go to a central place and you get children from this big guy and this big girl. Give me two. One boy and one girl. Universally, we're called to reproduce, aren't we? But practically, guess what? Only takes two. God worked out the system. He could have worked it out anyway. He decided to work it out this way. Thank God for the local church. Thank God for who we are. Thank God for new life. Thank God for the obedience of the first people that heard God say, I want you to plant a church and I want you to affect this community with what I called you to do. I believe that was sovereignly placed by God to come here. I believe that with all my heart. And God told me I was coming here for revival. I know that how that practically works out. Thank God for the universal. Thank God for the other churches, the local church. I love the pastors. Right now, there's something good about to happen. Pastors are being attacked all over the place. Don Meyer over at the Nazarene Church had a major heart attack. Larry Pyatt's wife is in good condition now. They just tested her heart. Everything came back positive. She's great. She has MRSA, but some good things, good reports with some medicine and healing. She's been healed, I believe. I mean, you know, she's been healed, but there was touch and go for her a little bit. So there's all kinds of attacks happening. So I know something translocally is happening. But my concern is with this church and the leadership with this church. Let's do it. Let's talk to others. Talk it up with other people that come here. We're going to have this as a Sunday morning teaching because it really needs to. How many think this puts some feet to faith? How this practically works out? Yeah? Well, Father, we thank you for this practical look at what you want to do and the completeness that you want to do through the local church. Thanks for the universal church. Thank you that the whole world is being evangelized. Thank you, Father, that in every nation you've got your representatives. In every state, in every city, in every county, in every town, in every village, you've got your representatives. And Father, you've called us to do what we're called to do right here at New Life. And so, Father, as we obey you, it's like an epidemic. It happens all over the place. So, Father, as you work from the inside out, do that with New Life. Do that with us as we focus on who we are in you and who this local church is in you. We thank you and bless you, and we give you all the glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name.